Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, on this September 10th, 2023, this is The Voice of the Christian Resistance. And the title of the message tonight was, Where is the Place Where Light Dwelleth? Where is the place where light dwelleth? And we're going to start tonight by taking a look at the miraculous King James Bible. But also, we're going to take a look at the strategy of our opposition out there of the enemy. And doubting God's word is the root and the beginning of sin. Now, with the evidence of all of creation, I mean, it's everywhere you turn. Well, you know, it's impossible to have a creation without a creator. But everywhere you look out there throughout the land, God's word, the Bible, is verified. I mean, it's right there, just exactly the way God's word, the Bible, said it would be. And again, God's word, the King James Bible, is the only absolute truthful source that speaks with absolute authority. And here, it's the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in existence. As we go through here, we'll read some of the quotes from some very great men in history and what they said about God's word, the Bible. And we start here in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat. Now, a lot of people get the opinion when they talk about the serpent, they get the opinion that here he was in the presence of a huge, maybe python, or anaconda snake wrapped around a tree. You always see these portraits. The fact is, Satan was the most beautiful creature God ever created. And in his vesture was all of these precious stones. Now, the second most beautiful creature ever created was Eve herself. And she was, again, the most beautiful woman. She was the model. She was the very first. And so here, what would attract the second most beautiful woman, creature in the world, other than the first? And Satan had been there for a while. He was peering. Before he made his move, he realized his circumstances. He was in the garden, and in this garden, Adam had complete domain. This was Adam. God had given Adam charge over every living thing, okay, in that garden. So Satan knew that Adam literally had, in that garden right there, he had the power to take his head off. Now, Satan was an extremely powerful, the most powerful angel that God had made. But in that garden there, Adam had the authority. So he had to play things close to his vest. So what did he do? Well, he needed to find Adam's weak spot, and he found that weak spot in the weaker vessel, and that was in Eve. Where was Eve's weakness? Discernment. And so we see what started there carries forth to this present day here. We saw that the enemy, Satan, looked for Eve. We know that Adam, now think about this. First of all, Adam was given the charge of naming all of the animals and looking for a helpmate. God said to find yourself a helpmate. Now think about this. Here's Adam, and he's going through all of these animals, man. He's got kangaroos, and he's got porcupines, and he's got lions and tigers and bear. And he wasn't looking for, he didn't find a helpmate that he thought. And by the way, it was very possible that at that time, that some of the animals, it's believed by some Bible scholars, had the ability to, at some point, actually speak. But that's a theory. And so here, as Adam was looking at these, he couldn't find one that was fit. So God created woman. Now think about this. Here, after going through all of these lions and tigers and bears and porcupines and polecats and all of these, here is a prototype, the most beautiful creature. Adam was just beside himself with this beautiful creature. And so Satan knew right then, if he could get to Eve, he didn't want to go directly at Adam. Adam might have just thrown him out. But if he could get to Eve, he could use Eve to get to Adam. And folks, to this very, very day, we see the enemy, if he wants to take a good man down, he's, to this very day, I've seen it happen time and time again, he's used pretty women to do it. And so here now, we read, and now the serpent was the most subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst, which means middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, now, here, God in his word in several places gives you notice that you are not to take from or add to. Take from or add to his word. And what do we have here? Well, we see that Eve now, even though here, Satan realized that she was the weaker vessel, but at this point, Eve had no sin nature in her, so he had to put that there. And so here, when God makes it clear not to take from or add to, she added to by saying this, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Well, God never said that. In fact, God had given the command to Adam. It was Adam's job to, and he passed it on to to Eve. Eve knew that. Adam had told Eve. And Adam, at that point, right then and there, should have told Eve, get back to the kitchen, woman, and throw the serpent out of the garden. But Adam failed because he gave in to his wife. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, you shall not surely die. Well, here, and when Eve doubted God, when she doubted God, that was taking from the taking from his word. In other words, when she doubted here God's truth, God's sovereign goodness, and at that point she developed resentment against God, and that's when she fell into Satan's trap. So again, Eve quickly added to God's word, thou shalt not touch it, and took from God's word again by doubting the word of God. And the serpent said unto woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so here, they did. They died immediately spiritually. They died immediately spiritually, and then later on, they died. Now, they would have lived forever had they obeyed God and listened to God. They would have lived forever, okay? But again, they didn't. Now, I want to go over, and the point here was to get people to doubt the Word of God. And so if we go over to Job chapter 4, and in Job chapter 4, starting with verse 12, well, let me actually go back a little bit. Let me start actually from verse 1, because then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Now, here, Eliphaz makes a real big error here. He's talking about the innocents are protected from suffering, and that bad things don't happen to good people, which is not at all true at all. Look at the Lord Jesus on the cross. Look at all of the martyrs. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened thy weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it's come upon thee, and thou faintest, and touchest thee, and thou art troubled. So Eliphaz is telling Job, look, all the people you counseled in the past, all the good advice you gave to people, and now you're not even following your own advice. Is not this the fear of thy confidence? Why hope in the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Well, many innocent people perished. It's happening every day. One of the things we call abortion is the innocent being murdered, okay? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fire, the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perished for the lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now he goes into, and this shows you that he is not a man of good judgment. He says, Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all of my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. Now, let me tell you something about this, because there's something to this. I have had to deal with several times where I've come in contact with people that were involved in Satanism. Once I did a television program, and the fellow that was going to be on there was supposedly one of the Dark Princes. He was a a satanic priest that came out of Satanism, got saved, and now he was going to come and give his testimony. And it was an interesting thing, because as I was sitting with another pastor having coffee, all of a sudden the hair on my arm stood straight up, the hair on the back of my neck stood. I looked, and you know, that's also a sign. If you're out there on the golf course or out there in the field, that's a sign that lightning's about to strike. And I'm looking at that, and I said, "Fred, you see this?" And just then, I looked, and here comes this fella, dressed in all black with pure white hair. And as he came close, his gaze met my gaze. He had a look of fear and anger in his face, and he looked the other way very quickly. And as he passed, you could almost feel a chill in the air. And so it was interesting when we gathered to do the television program. This was the man that was supposed to be the one that had came out of Satanism. And as the gatherers gathered to prayer in the name of Jesus, to pray in the name of Jesus, he couldn't stay. He couldn't stay. He literally ran out of the room. And then another time, as I was down, I went before the Ohio Parole Board to speak on behalf of a death row inmate. Now, I knew what happened with this inmate. This inmate never did the crimes he was convicted of. It was a whole satanic ritual that was taking place. I've talked about this before. And this guy was a throwaway. And anyhow, as I was there, again, I was sitting talking to this man's defense attorneys, when same thing happened. Hair on my arms stood up and back of my neck. And as I turned and looked, there were two of these prosecutors who were involved up to their eyeballs, were Satanists. I knew that. And when their gaze hit my gaze, again, the same thing, a look of fear and anger. And immediately they backed off. They backed away. And so this is what he's talking about here. Then the spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence. And I heard a voice saying, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he changed. He charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundations is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom." So what is he doing here? Well, first of all, again, it goes to show you that old Eliphaz's judgment was not very good. He thought he was talking to a God or a spirit. But here now, what is he doing? He's speaking to a satanic spirit. Okay? And this satanic spirit, maybe did Satan himself. He's telling Eliphaz, "Why in the world do you trust in God? Don't you see? Do you see what he did with his own angels? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Don't you see how he cast them down? He turned on his own angels, and they're far, far superior to you. Why in the world would you possibly think that you people made out of clay, why would you think that you people would be of any importance to God? Why do you put your trust in him?" So the idea here was to get Eliphaz to doubt God and then use Eliphaz to go to Job. Remember Job? This was a testing of Job. And the point was, he was to go and influence Job, if not try to convince Job, look what God has done to you. Why do you keep trusting him? Why? And then I want to go over to the strategy of Satan and those on the left. That's to get the world's population to doubt God's holy, sovereign, absolute, truthful nature. So with the help of man and his sin nature, it was going to be an easy accept for those of us that resist him. James 4:7 says, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's who we are. We're the voice of the Christian resistance. So when the left strategizes, they conspire to demonize, and the whole point is to try to dishearten us by continually trying to silence us with the by weaponizing all the institutions against us. Again, here, that strategy is to get the righteous to be so, disheartened, so totally demoralized is the point. That's what they want to do. And how do they do that? Well, they try to silence us. They weaponize the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the CDC, the FDA. All of these, they weaponize them against us. We see our own government turned against us. Then they try to force their immorality, abortion, their sodomy, their pedophilia, drag queens, transgenders, whores. They try to push all of that on us. And it's like a continuous barrage. They try to overwhelm us with evil. And here we have a two-edged sword. We have a mighty, mighty weapon. And that's this word right here, God's Word, the Bible. It's the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in existence. It's the only absolute source that speaks with absolute authority and absolute accuracy of the past from the very beginning, of time. It tells you what is happening here, right now, during our presence. And then it tells you with complete and total accuracy what the future will be. And so here, President Ronald Reagan once said, indeed, it is an indisputable fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and around the world have their answers in that one single book. That's right, folks. All the answers. You see, it kind of works out this way. Man has few answers and a lot of problems. God has no problems and all the answers. And so here, he has given this to us in this book. And they've tried and tried and tried to destroy this book. Oh, they have brought out counterfeits. They've done everything. They've tried to burn them, gather up all the Bibles and burn them. But guess what? It's out here today in God's Word, as the Lord Jesus said, the Word of God, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And so God's Word is out there now. It's stronger than ever amongst the believers, amongst the body of Christ. And God always keeps a remnant. And as it looks like what's happening, how they keep predicting that people will no longer believe in God. No, God will keep a remnant, And what you're seeing, for those of us that are biblically literate, we understand that all of these signs of the things that are happening, the artificial intelligence, where, again, the cloning of people, the changing of our DNA, all of these things, you know, here when you have the Democratic Party literally has chosen the Church of Satan to be their religion. You've got pedophilia is absolutely rampant, okay? Right now, here in Ohio, this issue one is a legislation right from the pit of hell. It's as if they opened the doors of hell and said, here, take this and make this the law of the land. And this is what they call issue one in Ohio. You want to vote against this. This is it, folks. You can't afford to lose it this time. You can't. And so all of these things here are all a part of the assault upon us. But again, we have this wonderful book that God has given us. Napoleon, who he knew a little bit about wars, he liked to go to war. Napoleon said about the King James Bible, it's no mere book, but a living creature that conquers all that face it. Well, that's kind of quite a compliment. And then Newsweek magazine, back on December 27, 1982, I remember this, wrote about this book, the Bible. And it said, how one book unites us, divides us, and still defines us. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what God's Word, the Bible, does. It unites believers together. It also will unite unbelievers. But it divides us, the righteous from the unrighteous, the right from the left. Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword, to set father against son, mother against daughter. And what he was meant by that was that his presence was going to be those that believed upon him and called upon his name and received him would be at odds, would be at odds with those that rejected him. And that's exactly what has happened, okay? Probably everybody listening to me out there tonight has a relative or a friend or an acquaintance anyhow that has turned away because of their faith. I know I do. Those that have rejected Christ, we can have no fellowship with at all. And so here, when we look at the genius, and by the way, so many scientists have come out and stated that God's Word, the Bible, that this King James Bible that I have right here was put together by an extreme intelligence, light years ahead of everything we have today, folks. And so, in fact, that fellow Einstein was known to be a pretty smart guy. And referring to the Bible and God, he said that God, unlike him himself, God does not have to theorize. In other words, God doesn't need to. He already knows the answers, okay? And so there was a mathematician and a scientist. His name was Peter Stoner. And he decided he was going to apply the rules of probability. Now, it would take me all day to go and show you how this list of the works and the rules of probability, it's very, very complex how they decide the rules of probability. But anyhow, he decided to take just 8 of 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled and write the mathematical probabilities of this taking place without supernatural, without a supernatural intercession in this. And so, out of just 8 of 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled, the odds came up to be 1 with 18 zeros behind it. 1 with 18 zeros. Now, he went on to write this. This is not merely evidence. It is proof of the Bible's inspiration by God's proof. Again, this is not merely evidence. It is proof of the Bible's inspiration by God. Proof definite that the universe is not large enough to hold all of the evidence. I want to go on to say, we're going to take a look at some of how God's Word, the Bible, was so far advanced. And I've had a number of scientists and nuclear physicists on my radio program, and they talk about the dimensions, and they talk about how God's Word, the Bible, is a book that actually releases knowledge and wisdom, even though it's printed, the printing is finished. But there are things in there that man cannot understand until God opens their eyes and allows that information for them to receive that information that's already been written in the book for decades and centuries. And so here, for an example of that, if we go to Luke chapter 17, verses 30 through 36, even thus shall it be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you that in the night there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now, what is he doing here? He's telling you that in this day, when it's daytime on one part of the earth, that these things are going to happen, and as half of the earth is daytime, the other part is nighttime. These things are taking place. That in the daytime, when the two men are on the housetop, at the same time, it's going to be nighttime and two men are going to be sleeping. He's telling you that there's going to be a time when the two women are grinding, and he said, I tell you there in the night there shall be again. And then one will be taken and one will be left. And then the two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. So he's telling you that, he's showing you that here, that the earth is round because it's going to be daylight on one side and nighttime on the other side. And so here, again, this was written, you know, way, way before they knew that the earth was round. In fact, here, I want to go now to Isaiah 40 as a better example. By the way, that passage of Scripture is referring to the rapture. And so again, when the Lord comes, it will be night. when men are in bed, but it will also be in the early morning when women are grinding at meal. It will be at midday when men are working in the field. And so, again, this is only a possibility if the earth is rotating on its axis, as we know. But then if we go over to Isaiah 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to have to wet my whistle here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them as a tent dwelling. Now here, how could Isaiah know in 700 B.C. that the earth was round? 2,000 years before Magellan sailed around the world. By the way, I don't believe Magellan lived, but his ship returned from the very same place that it left from. Is it? Now, I have some friends that believe that the earth is flat. And, of course, those that believe the earth is round, why don't, in fact, I listened to some debates on that. And I got to tell you this. I said, I'm going to settle this here. I'm going to show you how you're both right. And they said, what? So I took a coin. The coin was round and the coin was flat. And I says, here, you see here? This is like the earth. And so what Magellan did, he just sailed right along the edge, okay, and kind of left both parties speechless there, okay. But how did Isaiah know in 700 B.C. that the earth was round 2,000 years before Magellan sailed around the world and returned to where he started? And so also in Job, if we go to Job, and in Job chapter 26, Job 26, I believe verse 10, if I remember, yes, Job 26, verse 10, he that hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. Well, here, when it says compass, the word compass is the Hebrew kug, K-H-U-G word there. It's translated circle. It's circle. In Isaiah 40:22 here, which we just read, and here again we see that, and it says this, that he that compassed, that means circled. He circled the waters with bounds until the day and night came to an end. And then, also, in Proverbs, in fact, if we go over to Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 8, I believe it is, we read, and it's kind of that Proverbs 8, verse 27. And when he prepared the heavens, I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Okay, so that word compass there is circle. Okay, it's the same word again, and that means circle. So he said again, when he prepared the heavens, I was there, and when he set a compass, a circle, upon the face of the depth. And then, again, that was in Proverbs. And that was way before That was 1,000 years before that Magellan sailed around the world. And then you've often heard the sayings, life is in the blood, life is in the blood. Well, if we go back to Leviticus, in fact, if we go all the way back almost 6,000 years into Genesis chapter 9, where he says life is in the blood, here in Leviticus 17, 10 and 11, we read, and whatsoever man there is of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among the people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. Now this is very, very interesting here. Here, it indicates several things. One, it indicates that the blood circulation is the key factor in physical life. And that was a discovery that was made only in 1616 by William Harvey. And so, the blood carries water and nourishment to every cell, maintains the body's temperature, removes the waste material of the body's cells. The blood also transmits the very breath of life, carrying the oxygen from the lungs throughout the body to all the cells. This relatively modern scientific insight merely confirms what God revealed thousands of years ago. Well, how did Moses know this? How did Moses know this thousands of years ago? Again, it was in 1616 when this was discovered. Prior to that, this was really unknown. And then here, going back to the early 1900s, Dr. Lester discovered that the blood provides the body's immune system. Which is, again, in the blood. And how did they know this thousands of years before so-called science find out? How did Moses know? Well, because, again, we had all this information right here in God's Word, the Bible. But God instructed this is all in the Word of God. Now, here, today, you have, oh boy, do we have those that hate the Word of God, those that want to do everything possible. And this is why they brought out all of the New Age perversions of the Bible out there today. Some have learned to repent of that, but others have not. And we see, for example, today, you've got that Yuval Harari, and Klaus Schwab's evil, wicked little partner there. And he has been saying that there is no God that lives above the clouds. And now that AI, artificial intelligence, has now brought out its own Bible, the artificial end, which will, they believe, will soon replace the Word of God. Well, I got a feeling God's going to have something to say about that, and I think, Yuval Harari, you may have bit off a lot more than you can chew this time. But throughout history, throughout the centuries, there's always been those enemies of the cross, enemies of God, enemies of us. Robert Ingersoll, remember him in your history class? He was the famous agnostic. He once held up the Bible and said, in 15 years, I'll have this book in the morgue. Well, guess what happened, folks? Exactly 15 years later, Robert Ingersoll was in the morgue. And the Bible is still alive and still well. And you're hearing from it tonight. And then, well, you remember that famous man, that famous French philosopher, Voltaire. He wasn't quite as smart as Napoleon. Remember what Napoleon said, that when it came to the King James Bible, it's no mere book, but a living creature that conquers all that face it. Well, I think Voltaire kind of found that out. Because Voltaire said, a famous French philosopher of the 18th century said, in 100 years, the Bible will be forgotten and obsolete and found only in museums. Well, in less than 50 years, Voltaire was dead, and the Bible was still alive as it is today, and you're reading from it. But here's the irony of this thing here, that the Geneva Bible Society bought Voltaire's house. They bought his house, and they turned it into a printing operation where, guess what? They printed Bibles. They printed Bibles right from that house where Voltaire made his statements. And then I wanted to say this, that today we have a lot of phrases and sound bites that people say all the time, every day, without realizing that the origin of those phrases and those sound bites are right from God's Word, the King James Bible. That's right. For example, in Leviticus 25:10, it says, proclaim liberty throughout all of the land. Where do we see that? That was written right on the Liberty Bell. And what do we hear today? We hear people talking about proclaiming liberty today. And what about Numbers 31:15? Have you ever heard that saying, every man for himself? Well, that's where that came from, right from Numbers 31:53. What about Deuteronomy 32:10. He's the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. Well, we hear that phrase spoken of often. What about in Judges 2:3. He's a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in your side. So both of them, a thorn in the flesh or a thorn in your side. What about Judges 4:21? Have you ever heard the phrase, he fell fast asleep, fast asleep? What about 2 Kings 2:3? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. What about 1 Chronicles 9:25? From time to time, from time to time. What about 2 Chronicles 34:22? And to that effect, in Job 4:15, the hair of my flesh stood up. Well, we just read that here tonight. The hair of my flesh stood up. In Job 19:20, escaped with the skin of his teeth. How many times have you heard that? He barely got away with the skin of his teeth. And what about Psalm 90:12? To number our days. Our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. What about Psalm 107:27? They're at their wits' end. They're at their wits' end. What about Proverbs 23:6? The evil eye. The evil eye. Have you ever wondered where all of these sayings have come from here? What about Isaiah 40:15? It's a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. And what about Ecclesiastes 10:20? A little bird told me. A little bird told me. And what about Isaiah 52:8? See eye to eye. See eye to eye. What about Isaiah 60, verse 1? Arise and shine. Arise and shine. All of these things we hear. How about Matthew 15:14? Blind leading the blind. Blind leading the blind. How about Matthew 16:2? Fair weather. What about Matthew 22:12? And he was speechless. And these are all quips, all sayings, all that we have today. Little phrases. These are all little phrases that's common today. But people, if you ask most people, where'd that come from? Very few know. What about this? Oh, this is a very good one. Matthew 22:12, and he was speechless. He was speechless. How often do you hear that? And then in Mark 3:21, he is beside himself. Pastor Fred used to always say that. I'm beside myself. And Pastor Hal says that often now. He's beside myself. I'm beside myself, he often says. In Mark 14:72, call to mind. In Luke 21 or 12:1, in the meantime, how about Luke 15:27? He's safe and sound. So here, and Romans 13:11, it's high time. And 1 Timothy 4:7, old wives' fables, old. So all of those sayings were in the Bible. And tonight I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through to 25, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here you go. You note there in verse 22, where it talks about that truth. Obeying that truth. That's God's word it's talking about. And here, when he's talking in verse 25, when he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So what is he talking about? It's for more, and it's more and more of the internal nature of God's word. And so he refers to which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here he's referring to that everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. And so here I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to pick it up with where we started out tonight. The entire purpose of the opposition out there is to demoralize, to dishearten, to give you the opinion that what's the use? You can't win. Look at how they're all against you. You've got the entire federal government has turned against you, you Christians. Look what they're trying to do. Look what they're doing in the public schools. Look what they're doing. And like I said, here now in Ohio on this issue 1 on November 7th, folks, you better listen to me when I'm telling you. This is right out of the pit of hell itself. We got to stop that. Now, And so the idea is to dishearten you, to tell you that you can't win. What's the use of fighting? Well, Lord, let me just explain to you this, okay? God is on his throne. God is in complete control. God knows exactly what is going to happen, and only what he allows to happen. And if you're out there listening to me tonight, and the Bible says here, there's only two ways. God recognizes two kinds of people, the saved and the lost. The saved and the lost, folks. And here's reality. Reality is this, just like we've told you through God's Word. God's Word is absolute truth. Absolute truth. All of you out there listening are going to die. That's right. Everybody you know is going to die. That's a fact. And when that happens, and this is a fact, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, because if you don't believe it, you will. Believe me, there's absolutely no chance that you won't. There are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everybody in heaven or hell believe, okay? And when that happens, if you die, you're either going to go to glory. If you're saved, if you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and received Christ as your Savior, or you're going to go to hell, and you're going to be in torment for eternity. That's reality. Why? Well, that's what God has said. Believe me, when it comes to these things, God gets his way. Now, you don't have to end up going to hell. You don't have to do that. If you're smart, you'll want to avoid torment, folks. Torment is not fun. And if you're smart, you'll realize that Christ did for you what you could never, ever possibly do for yourself. He did for you what you could never, you ever do for yourself. He took your sins upon him. He paid the price for you. And you would have no chance to even come close to doing anything like that. Now, what you have to do, you have to call upon his name. You pray to the Father. You pray to the Father. And you ask, Heavenly Father, Lord God, forgive me of my sins. For I'm a sinner. Forgive me, please. And then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life, all of my life, with no reservations. I put you first and foremost in everything. Now, if you do that, God will honor that commitment. God is the only one that you can continuously, absolute every single time, count on. He will honor that commitment, and you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And from that point, from that time on, right there, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And now, when that happens, as a new creature, you will start like a babe that learns to crawl and then walk. You're going to learn to crawl as a Christian. You're going to be fed on the milk of the Word until you're ready for the meat. And you will be on your way to eternal life. Now, again, you've got God's Word upon that. And there's nothing that's as sure as the Word of God. So, you've got a decision to make. And I hope you made that decision tonight. I hope you prayed that prayer with me here tonight. And if you did, we'd like to hear about it. I'd sure like to hear about it. 1 minute. You can just call and leave a message on our phone at 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. And again, if you're out there listening tonight, apart from Christ, don't run out of tomorrows tonight. All across this world, that's going to happen. People are going to run out of tomorrows tonight. You don't want to be one of those that run out of tomorrows tonight. So, with that, as we come to this time and place every night, we always do the same thing. We say to you, good night. And God bless, and always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left. hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.